Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 3-Point Perspective podcast. This is a podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. And all three of us are professional illustrators, and we have been for the past 25 years. And we've also worked with just about every major publication in the business. We've published between us somewhere around 50 books each. Or 50 books total.
Wow!
We told tall tales last time, didn't we? So this is like, yeah. So anyway, all of us have taught at universities.
Yep. Each week, we're going to tackle a different subject related to illustration from all three of our perspectives. Sometimes we're going to agree. Most of the time, we're going to argue. But you are going to learn something new every time.
I disagree. I think we agree more often than we argue.
That's actually true. I just like arguing. We're going to argue today, though.
I feel like we are going to argue today.
You're going to have today, to be devil's advocate today.
Yeah. Today. Well, I might be devil's advocate, too. I'm really of two minds on this.
I feel like I'm going to get thrown under the bus by two of you, then.
We'll see. So today's subject is, should you do fan art or... Well, yeah. Should you do fan art? We'll leave it at that. And I want to first start out with just a legal statement saying that the three of us aren't lawyers. Unless, Lee, are you a lawyer that we don't know about?
Like, I am. No, I'm not.
Did you do that? Okay. You never know. Like, you've done so many things. I don't know if you like took the bar and have a license to practice law in Tennessee or something.
No, but I do dive into the legal stuff quite a bit, only because I shared a studio with David Hone for so long, and he's crazy about the copyright stuff. And so I've been into it a lot, but I just met with a lawyer recently about illustration related stuff. And so I'm pretty versed on it, but I'm definitely not, I'm not liable. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I saw a lawyer once. So there's that.
Very good. So I want to say we're not lawyers, so don't consider this actual legal advice. The things we're going to talk about today will not hold up in a court of law. It may or may not. I don't know. If you really are curious about fan art and the legality of it, contact a lawyer and talk to them about it. And so just wanted to get that out of the way.
And typically you're going to contact an IP lawyer. Somebody who specializes in intellectual property. Don't call a marriage lawyer or just a general lawyer. They won't know. You got to contact somebody who's within the world of copyright and ownership of written and illustrated works.
Great.
So what is fan art, Jake?
What is fan art? So my definition of fan art is any sort of, we'll keep it in the realm of like illustration or drawing. So it's any sort of drawing and illustration that is produced by a fan or somebody pretending to be a fan of a character that's already owned and established by a company.
So give us a verbal example of what fan art would be.
Let me just modify that. Not just a company, but owned by a person. So like a friend of mine could come up with a character and I could do fan art of that character. So for example, I've seen this of my work. I created a character called Wake from Skyheart, the comic that I'm working on. I've also created Missile Mouse, another comic I did, and Skull Chaser, which is another character I came up with. And I see fan art that people do of these characters a lot. And what they're doing is they're taking what I've drawn and they've drawn their version of that character and posted online or sent actual original art to me of these characters.
How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel pretty cool. Like, wow, someone took the time, someone liked my character, liked my design, and took the time to actually put that character out there and do their version of it and share it with people and say, hey, I'm a fan of this thing. So
now, what if you saw that same character at a convention and it's on a big poster with that person's signature and they're selling prints?
I saw that. So, I've seen it twice now.
How did it hit you?
It was this conflicting feeling like, oh man, I am so honored that they would want to like draw my character. And then I was also like, hey, wait a minute. Like, I'm here selling prints of that character too. But I don't have like delusions that people walking down the aisle are going to see that character and think, hey, that's Jake Parker's character. They're probably like, I'm not that well known enough, or my characters aren't that well enough known. How do you even say that? That well known enough?
Well enough known.
Well enough known. There's somebody here who's, someone's listening right now who's an English major. It's just like banging their head against their desk. Anyways, just what I was saying is that I know that just because someone did something like that doesn't mean that automatically like someone's going to know, hey, you stole that character from Jake Parker. But part of me was conflicted, like, hey, you know, can I get a little kickback from each sale of those prints? That was the insight. And then it morphed into like, well, you know, if they can make a buck, let them make a buck. It gets my artwork out there, and maybe that person who buys that will also become a fan of me if they're not already familiar with of
now my let work. Me change the question a little bit. What if you had your Skull Chaser comic out there and it was selling pretty good, and it's like growing in popularity, and you're making some pretty good money off of it? And let's say that I'm really going to go into this fantasy deep, that they're about to make a movie. You've already gotten your movie option and everything. And now they're making a movie out of it. Do you feel like that fan art would help get the message out or get some more visuals out on your movie? Or do you feel like it would take away from it?
I kind of feel like at that point, those are, there's a little bit of hanger-oning, I guess. Like people are riding coattails, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine also there would be like people who are not familiar with it that would now be familiar of the thing had they not seen that artwork. I kind of feel like you could look at Scott Pilgrim, right? Which was a comic that was, it sort of went through that chain of events that you just described. It was this comic that was put out, it was done by a publisher and then turned into a movie. And I'm curious to.
So we're gonna just keep painting pictures for Jake, people using his art. So you come up with this character, say for example, good looking character, you've drawn it a number of times, definitely yours.
On.
And then somebody does fan art for it, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then what if their fan art becomes successful? Like, say it ends up on the front page of, I don't know, what are the young kids looking at today? The MySpace?
Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine.
No, but like,
as Mad Magazine celebrates its final issue.
I don't know, like an Instagram or a Reddit or some kind of thing.
Yeah, it gets
where
to
all
the
of
front
a sudden
page
it gains
of,
a huge
of Reddit.
Amount of traction. Yeah, and it's not yours.
Mm-hmm. That all depends on if I'm attributed as the creator of it or not. Like,
No. Let's assume you're not.
Okay, and everybody thinks that person created this character.
Yeah, they just made the drawing. They signed it. They didn't acknowledge.
That would chuff me a little bit. That would ruffle my feathers.
Well, how would you handle it? What would you do?
I'd probably contact the person and just say, "Hey, I noticed this is getting a lot of traction. I'd like it if you attributed the character design to me or the character to me."
He'd probably also send him a picture of his brass knuckles.
No.
No, but the thing is, this is kind of convoluted too, in that most fan art is done with well-known properties.
Sure.
So this is...
Of course, yeah. I'm just kind of trying to figure out where that line is,
because
you never know.
So, no, that's a good way to frame it, but what's really happening, and this is what we've been talking about is one area of it, but what's really happening and the thing that's kind of going on right now is you have these massive properties like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you have the DC characters, you have Justice League, you have Superman, you have Star Wars, you have Doctor Who,
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. You have Lord of the Rings. You know, these big, massive movie franchises that are based off of comics and books. And you, what you do is you have, at comic conventions, people selling fan art of all of these, different properties. They're just, there's prints of their version of these things. And the question out there, I think, that's happening among artists is, should you do fan art, and should you sell it? And those are the two things.
And there's been some good arguments online about those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to just clarify what fan art falls under. So there's three different versions, I guess three different areas. So there's derivative works, and a derivative work is something that that you draw, which is pretty much based on the character. It's your version of that character. So let's say you have a Superman, you know, there's Superman, you draw your version of Superman, it's in your style, but it's identifiably Superman, you know, with your style over the top of it. So that's a derivative work. Then you have parodies, and parodies are anything that's related to or focuses on the humor aspect, or it takes that character and does something funny with that character. So that's parody. It has to have, I think, a humor element to it. And then you have plagiarism, which is straight up just copying. You know, if you took a photo of Aragorn from Lord of the Rings and you did a super polished, like, Photoshop copy of it, that would be plagiarism. If not, actually taking, like, actual artwork that someone has put, like the company has put out of that character, and you just printed it on a piece of paper, a sheet of paper, or on a t-shirt or something like that. That would be plagiarism. And then there's transformative works, or transformativeness. And this is when you take something that's been created and you transform it into something else. So if I read a book, if I read a comic, and then I do I create a video reviewing that book or that comic, this content that I've now created is transforming what it originally was into something new, which is now commentary and a review of that book. Okay, so that would be transformativeness. I would say maybe what else falls under that is, say you take a character that hasn't ever been visualized, you know, it's just a literary character, and you create a visual version of it, you know, or perhaps it's something that's always only been in still imagery, and you animate it, or you make a 3D model of it, or a sculpt of it, or something like that. And that's where derivative and transformative, I think, kind of blur together. But those are like the four different areas of what I think fan art falls under. So the question is, what's the actual legality of it? And that's where people, I think, want to know where the line is. And I think the truth of the matter is there's a hard line in that if you do not own the character, then you need to tread lightly with what you do with it. Mm-hmm. That's the hard line, is that if you do anything with a character that someone else owns, that can be illegal to even create artwork of it. The gray area comes in is whether or not the person or the company who owns that character is going to care or prosecute or send a cease and desist or anything like that. So in my book, this is how I kind of feel about where, I guess this is how I define the gray line, is that if you have an original drawing that you've created, original piece of artwork, it's not a reproduction, it's, you know, your hand has touched that paper to create it, you could sell that original art regardless of what the subject matter is. I think you have the right to sell that, even if it's a drawing of a Pikachu. Because you created it, you can sell it. It's a one-off. I think selling prints and t-shirts gets into some gray area, because you have done a derivative version of it. So it's not something that the company has created to sell. It's something you've created. So I think you can really get away with it if it's a parody. So if you're making fun of it, or at least according to the law, because parody has always sort of had this, I guess, safe zone around it. You know, that's why SNL can make fun of, you know, whatever the latest characters or the latest movies are, or the latest, you know, situation might be in the media or in the news, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. So if you have a parody t-shirt or a parody print, yeah, there might be a little bit more leeway there, because maybe the original work wasn't intended to be funny and you're making something funny out of it. I think if it has a strong point of view or a style design that couldn't be mistaken for a licensed work, you're probably in a better area than if it's something that looks like it could have come from, you know, the artists at Marvel. But the best practice, I think, is to contact the copyright owners and just ask for permission or ask to buy a license for the IP, the intellectual property that you want to use. Now, me personally, anytime I've tried to do that, I haven't gotten a response. Like, I did this Iron Giant print, and I contacted Warner Brothers, and they found, you know, who do I contact about licensing? And I emailed them several times, never ever heard back from them. Okay. And I think the reason there is that, you know, I stated I'm going to sell, you know, a certain number of these at conventions, which was, I don't think it was within the margin that it's a financial threat to their economic interests. So I think, you know, I have such a small, a small fry that they didn't even have the time to deal with me. So there's that. Then there's like, if you look in my sketchbook collections that I sell, there's the there's like Star Wars art that I've done, characters that I've drawn, or my version of a Star Wars character that maybe never existed, that I've, you know, saying this person could exist in the Star Wars universe. Those end up in my sketchbooks, and I don't know if that's okay or not. My intent isn't to make a book of Star Wars stuff, and not to make a buck off of Star Wars, but really with these art books, the art books collect and catalog my work year after year. And because I'm a huge fan of Star Wars or Disney characters, they show up in my self-published books. So they're just there because it's an expression of who I'm a fan of. So that said, I've known people who've received cease and desist letters from Marvel and Lucasfilm for work that they were doing, that they were putting out there. But I've also known people who have sold their prints to actual like Disney IP lawyers that they collected, you know. So you could throw that in the air and see if it sticks. So that is sort of my understanding of fan art and the legality of it.
So I can add to that. A little bit of that in that gray area. I think you're totally right. There is a lockdown kind of line of who owns it. So mm-hmm. It's important to keep saying that it's not really that ambiguous on what the law says, but then how it's actually used starts to become in a gray area. So there's certain triggers that, and this is just from my understanding from talking to IP lawyers and researching cases, is that the gray area starts to go against you when dollars start to come into play. Mm-hmm. If you did a Batman drawing and just gave it away, that's never going to be prosecuted or even considered. But if you start mm-hmm. selling it, that is a marker of a copyright violation. So if you went to court and got sued, that would be one of the criteria. Did you make a financial gain off of it? Oh, I wanted to go into the transformative side of things too, because mm-hmm. a lot of times people think that if there's a drawing and then I did a 3D sculpt of it, then you are totally okay because you transformed it. That specifically does not hold up in court, especially if you sell the sculpture. And there is definite precedent for that, specifically coming down to this one case in the 1960s where somebody had taken a photograph. And I can't remember what it was, but I think it's a group of like a family or something, four or five figures together. And they had turned it into a full sculpture. But it was very, very close, and they lost. But the photographer sued, and they definitely lost. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of the things. Like it's hard to figure out how much is derivative, how much is parody. But mm-hmm. the reason I'm against kind of all of it in my opinion, is because...
What? Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to throw down on this one.
I knew we would. It opens up a big can of worms that the internet already feels like, hey, I can grab whatever I want to. And it starts just playing really loose with everything. And I think it also circumvents your ability to become the artist that you could, because sometimes you'll start to get not necessarily notoriety, but you'll definitely get feedback. If I draw Batman with, if my kid drew Batman and I post it on Facebook or Instagram, I'll get 400 likes only because it's Batman. Not because it's a well-drawn character. And so all of a sudden you start saying, hey, I'm actually a pretty good artist. I'm getting all this feedback. Everybody likes my work. They really just like the character.
So you're speaking as like the papa artist. Son, don't do fan art because you'll get false love and it'll leave you empty and dry.
Well, it opens up the reasoning of theft just coming into play. Like everything's just kind of a free for whatever I want to do. And it just kind of makes that leap a lot easier for people to do once they've done it a couple of times. And once they go and they say, hey, everybody else is like grabbing the Little Mermaid and, you know, it's a Batman and all over the place. It just becomes a crutch, in my opinion. And it's illegal. Once you start making money on it, unless it is a true parody, it's not really that gray. It's illegal. Now, whether you get prosecuted or not is a question.
Let me jump in.
Oh, sorry. Let me make one more point because I had this down for Jake's sketchbook. The reason Jake's sketchbook is okay, and one of the other things that they would look at if you got sued by somebody for copyright violation, is how much of the project is left when you take out the copyrighted item. <Yeah. laughs> I don't know what the past tense is. In other words, for Jake's sketchbook, if I ripped out the Star Wars pages, I still got a huge book of Jake's work. Like, so not much is affected by that. I did a children's book where I included in this giant diner scene a Coke bottle, you know, that hourglass Coke bottle. That is a copywritten shape. But if you took out the Coke bottle, the scene still exists. The narrative still exists. Everything's still there. Now, if you use Shepard Fairey's Hope poster and you pull out the photograph that was made from, there is no image. Mm-hmm. That's why he lost. There's nothing left except the copy once you take out the copywritten item.
Right.
So I just wanted to make that point that how much can be used once the violation is taken out of the work does become a criteria once something goes to court. Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing that I think we have to be very careful of in this conversation. And the thing that I see when I see social media conversations, sometimes they're not conversations, sometimes they're arguments. But when I see people talking about this, often we're talking about two different things. And so, like Lee, you just said, you know, fan art, you mentioned a line. I think you said something about like fan art being illegal or something like that. And we've already kind of danced around it, the different degrees and the different forms of it. And what I see is people want to know, like, especially like students and, you know, people that are thinking about participating in a comic convention, they want to know, is it okay or isn't it okay? They want to know yes or no on fan art. And that is what I really hope that in this discussion we can unpack the fact that it's not all the same and that there are various levels. And so there's
The question there is it like when you ask, is it okay? Are you asking, is it morally okay or am I going to get caught?
That's a good point. That's a good distinction.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because that's what I wanted to stress is that don't think that it's not illegal. Like it is illegal. All the versions that are at Comic-Con, unless there's a true parody element, it is.
And that's
illegal.
What I'm talking about. Now, can you
do it? I mean, it's the same thing as like saying, is jaywalking illegal? Sure, but I cross the street all the time. I'm not. I'm still
right, and that's a good example. That's a good example. But I actually think that there's some fan art that's totally legal.
How?
Well, one, I just interviewed Dominic Glover on my YouTube. If you had watched that, you would have known.
I'm not watching here. I'm going to waste my time.
So this kid, the title of the video is Totally Legal Fan Art, if anybody wants to check it out. And he was doing it totally illegal, illicit, you know, like walking around with a trench coat and like, hey, you want to buy my fan art, you know? And then he was approached by a guy who in a suit and he was like, oh no, this guy's standing looking at his booth. And the guy says, these are really good. You know, I'm really actually interested in using these for my company. We've purchased licenses to Marvel, Star Wars. I don't know all of them. DC, and with those licenses, we can sell, you know, t-shirts, prints.
Oh, with the license, that's a totally different deal.
Right. And so he started illegitimate, and then now he's totally legit, and he's got the get out of jail free card, and he can go to shows and sell his stuff, and he sells through this company as well.
Well, see, that's where the gray area comes in. It's like, I think it's okay to do it, but when you start making money from it and it starts to become your identity, which it does at cons.
And that's a problem, but that's not, I think we're talking about two different things. Like one, you bring up a very legitimate point, which is, as a beginning artist, if I start doing fan art and I get all this love, they're getting a lot more love because of the known IP, like what you're talking about, because I'm doing Batman. And that is not necessarily a healthy way to start out your art career. I totally agree with that. And giving advice to an up-and-coming illustrator, I would say be careful. Like take it with a grain of salt when you get all this love. It's not just for you, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's a totally different discussion to talk about the legalities of parody, which I think there are really good examples. And like, if you just look at like famous parody movies, Airplane, Spaceballs, Scary Movie, Blazing Saddles, Naked Gun, Shaun of the Dead, Spinal Tap, one of my all-time favorites. You know, there's precedent, Saturday Night Live, Mad Magazine. There's precedent for parody being totally legal. And then you take a case like, have you ever heard of Campbell versus Acuff Rose music?
No.
Okay, so this was when I first started doing, and by the way, like of the three of us, I do fan art, and I do believe Jake does fan art. Lee, you're the only clean.
I'm clean. I've never
person.
Done it.
Like,
I've
you never don't, done you it. Won't worry about any cops coming to your house.
just to clarify, I have done it. I stopped doing it this last year. I didn't do it all. I didn't sell any fan art at any conventions, I guess, over a year.
Are you
now.
Still going to the meetings?
Now, why did you make that why did you make that choice?
Well, I don't want to derail Will's thought, but it came down to I realized that I was spending more and more time thinking about and creating fan art prints than I was working on like my own ideas and my own IP. And that didn't sit well with me because I knew like in 10 years would I be able to make more money from my own IP or would I be able to make more money from doing fan art? And would I feel good about having 10 years worth of work going into fan art, you know? And so I just decided to really lean in harder on my own personal work and my own stuff and see if I could do better with that.
Okay. Will, what were you saying?
So back to my thought that we derailed on.
Sorry, Will.
So it was somebody versus somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Campbell versus.
So there is precedence for parody actually making it to a court of law and them siding with the parodier.
Wow, we are just opening up linguistic.
Parodier. The I'm just gonna read a little bit here. The members of the rap music group Two Live Crew. And they're represented by Campbell, and that's why it's Campbell versus Acuff Rose. And they composed a song called Pretty Woman, which was a parody based on Roy Orbison's rock ballad, Oh, Pretty Woman. You know, Pretty Woman walking down the street, and then Two Live Crew, like, wrapped it up, Pretty Woman. But it had the same exact lyrics, which is kind of crazy that they went for it. They actually tried to get permission from Roy Orbison's Acuff Rose, which is the music entity that owned the rights to his work. And Roy Orbison turned him down, said, no, you can't make this song. They made it anyway. Then they got hauled into court. And nobody wants to get hauled into court, but it is interesting when someone does to see what the outcome is, right? And the judge ruled in favor of Two Live Crew, saying that they weren't competing sales-wise because Two Live Crew sells to the rap market, and Roy Orbison selling to the old white guy group or whatever. the R&B, I guess. I don't know.
I would appeal that decision all day long if I was Roy Orbison.
You might get smacked down again.
No.
Or you might win. I mean, I don't know. But it is interesting. And so here's the thing. When I get into these discussions with people, it's like a lot of people want to say, you should never do fan art. Fan art's bad. It's not original. First of all, some fan art is definitely not original. Some fan art is complete plagiarism. Some fan art is, there's really nothing brought to the table at all. And that stuff is bad, in my opinion. I mean, it really doesn't do anything. But I do think that, I mean, like some of our most, like the movies that I rattled off, SNL, some of our most cherished entertainment is a known property, a known IP that has been intentionally exaggerated.
Yeah, but that is new, protected under
right. So I just want to make that distinction that again, when we get into these discussions, it's usually people really. I think people want to feel safe, and it's easier to say car good, truck right. bad. You know, like. You know, like it just is like, this is, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me what not to do and I won't do it. Whereas there's a lot of nuance when you dig into it. And I actually came up with my five degrees of fan art, if there is such a thing.
Okay.
From bad to good. And the first one is basically just a copy. And I think kind of Jake talked about this, where it's just, you know, you're just basically... You're looking at, like, let's say you look at a Marvel comic book and you look at it and you might even trace it. And you know, so you got the same pose, the same style, the same everything, and then you try to sell that. Well, yeah, you're not adding anything. You're basically just turned yourself into a copy machine. The second one is someone basically copies reference, but they change the style. So I've seen a lot of people at these conventions, and what they'll do is they'll use the reference they found on Google or they found from Marvel, and then they'll do it in a watercolor style or they'll do it in an airbrush style or something that is kind of more their rendering style, but underneath the sheets, it's exactly the same art. So to me, that's level two. Level three would be you actually come up with your own original pose of the character and your own original style. So it's a pose that no one's ever seen before, but there's really nothing new, nothing really offered as far as concept or parody or anything like that. And then four would be your own original pose, your own original style, and then you're adding a concept or an exaggeration, something that is completely different from the original IP. So for instance, I make my fan art and I change known characters into children. Like the question is, what would they be doing as children? And so on Alien, from the movie Aliens, I gave them braces and put them on one of those little coin-operated spaceships that you might find outside of a grocery store. So it's something that you never saw in any of the movies. Lee still, I'm looking at you right now. He still doesn't like it. He's not buying it, but that's okay.
I don't buy it.
He doesn't have to.
Actually, I did buy it. I bought your book.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Only to show my lawyer.
That's right. Oh, no. but then there's the coup de grace for me would be level five. If you get to level five, you're smoking, I think. And there's really only one person I've seen do that, and that's Jed Henry with his Yukioe Heroes project. Mm-hmm. And he's a friend of ours. And his, it's completely an original pose, an original style, original concept. But then he completely switches genres as well. So instead of making it look like comic book art, it actually looks, his actually looks like a Japanese old vintage poster. So yeah, when you first look at it, upon first glance, you have no idea you're looking at Donkey Kong or Mario Kart or any of the, you know, Street Fighter. What are, I don't know all the ones that he's done.
But you just think it's some tranquil scene or some action scene from, you know, that's been captured by ancient Japanese artist, right?
Right.
What's his name again?
Jed Henry. You look at, yeah, I want you to look at his, Lee, because you're going to learn something here. He
well,
does
my question at,
his
at
Zelda.
Level.
His Zelda is amazing. Because you really, unless you are a huge fan of Zelda and you're really on your toes, you won't even know it's Zelda.
Now, I agree that he's gone to, if using your level 5, I think he is completely safe in terms of copyright infringement, because it's basically he's using it as a spark, but really every single thing has changed on it. So I think he's in he's safe, but as you get into level 4 and all that, why, here's my question to you as a fan artist, is why not at that point create your own thing? And so if, because you've chosen to do the fan art, you're acknowledging, hey, I need to lean on this already established thing for some reason. What's the
you know
reason?
What? I'm going to level with you here. This is the, you guys ready for some serious honesty? Mm-hmm. I hated fan art for the longest time. I asked that exact same question. Like, why would I ever want to do that? And Jake, you remember me asking you that, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked Jake, like, why fan art? And this was when he was like heavily steeped into it before he was going to his Fan Art Anonymous meetings, you know? And he's like, all the reasons you gave me were how much fun it was, how much interaction you get with other people. And it's totally true, and it's addictive. I still do my own stuff, and I'm starting a book this week, actually, with Random House, that's completely original stuff. But I have really mostly done the characters that I've fallen in love with, and it is really fun to reimagine them as kids, and what would they be doing as kids? And it's been a brain twister to come up with those concepts. Now, if I were just copying characters, that wouldn't do it for me at all. But seeing people figure out the ideas that I've come up with, and that my kids have come up with, and that friends have come up with, and even Jake, I think Jake, you gave me.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But anyway, yeah, just watching people's reactions it's just been so rewarding and so cool, because you really are bringing something new and fresh, something that they've never seen before, something totally unexpected. And that's really what art is, right? In that, that's the definition of originality, is combining two ideas that have never been combined in a way that have never been combined before. And so that is possible to do with fan art. Having said that, I totally agree with you in that there are definitely pitfalls along the way.
I should add that I don't want to seem like I don't like fan art, because I've seen some gorgeous fan art and doing in every style, you know, where they're taking Batman and doing these lush oil paintings, or, you know, the book that you did. I mean, I love it. It's really great. I like this guy too, who's doing these, what's his name again?
Jed Henry.
Yeah, Jed Henry. Love it. So I just want to, I do you think that it opens what's a better way to say it? A slippery slope in terms of content and usage and all that kind of stuff to just say, hey, I took this other one, so why do I need to even create my own thing? I mean, you're good because you really are kind of the embodiment of somebody who doesn't have to do it, and you're using it for all the right reasons, I think.
I definitely think there's, like I said, I think there's a lot of pitfalls, and I see when I get a student, when I was teaching at the university, I get students come in and their whole sketchbook was filled with fan art. I'm like, okay, so we're not going to be doing this in here, you know, like this is, we're going to be doing real assignments, and this it's cool that you're doing that. But for the sketchbook as part of this class, we're not going to be doing that either. And some really, it's almost like you're taking away their pacifier. I mean, I've had students actually crying when I've told them, like, you cannot, this isn't going to satisfy assignments. I've had two students break down. And so for that reason, like, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I have to fault Jake, really, because he's the one who ruined my life with fan art. So he's totally responsible. But it is, I think it could be really fun. I do a lot less of it now than I used to. I was trying to get ready for that Kickstarter where I did a book, which was highly inspired by some of the stuff that Jake did, and also this Jed Henry. For a long time, his fan art book, or fan art prints, were the highest funded art project on Kickstarter. Wow. He grossed over $300,000 for this project.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, I'm on board for fan art now. Just copy whatever you want to.
Interestingly enough, he has made so much more than that, going to all over the world selling this fan art. And you know, he's most primarily doing Nintendo games you know, that's where he started, was Nintendo games. And Japan has more strict copyright laws than we do. So it was not received as welcoming over there, even though his, to me, is the highest level you can attain. He had some problems over there, from what I understand.
But like you said, though, I feel like he sets himself apart because he's, I guess, altered the original creation so much that you could argue that it's not the thing that it is, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing left of it that was original, unless you are really on the inside and can read those cues.
And I think that's why people love it so much, is that it's a puzzle. They go up and they look at, okay, which one is this? Oh, that's Mario Kart. Okay, I could see how that could be Mario Kart, which is kind of cool. So yeah. I just want to say, like, I guess to wrap this up, I would say... the two sides of fan art are doing it for the love and then doing it for financial gain, right? And I think if you're doing it for financial gain, you're probably treading on thin ice a little bit. You could end up, I think, unless you're making gobs of money, I don't think you're going to be sued.
Well, and that brings us to another, before you finish here, I don't know anybody who's been sued. I have heard of, like, you know, like these legends of these people that have been sued, but I've never met anybody.
No, I haven't heard any, and I know a lot of people who do it. I have heard of a couple of cases of cease and desist letters.
Yes, I have heard of those.
And usually I think that's all it takes. Like, no one's going to push back after that if it basically says...
Well, there is one guy. I actually know a guy who's gotten about 7 cease and desists, and he books under new names at conventions.
Okay,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
and his stuff is his would fall under a level 2, in my opinion. They're direct. In fact, we sat across from him at a convention one time and pulled up all of his reference on Google Images. Okay, let's find his Hulk, let's find his Wonder Woman, let's find his Wolverine, and nothing was changed from the movie still, you know, or the photographs that are released by Marvel, you know.
So that's why he's getting the cease and desist, because he's basically plagiarizing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's a slippery slope. I used to work for a design company that was doing t-shirt. They were in the snowboard industry doing apparel. And I was a graphic designer along with 2 other designers, and we had to come up with their line of shirts. And we would get art direction from the owner and the art director. And every time there was a significant number, I'd say 75% of the designs were, okay, here's a picture of like the Exxon logo. Just change it to our name, but it's the Exxon logo. So it's immediately recognizable as the Exxon sign or Starbucks or, you know, whatever.
And that was big in the 90s.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. And then we'd just wait for the cease and desist. And that was the intent, is like, let's sell it until we get the cease and desist. Yeah. And I always thought it's kind of weaselly. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask this question to both of you guys. Do you think that artists... I already know what these answers.
Hey, before you ask that question, can I tell you a funny little thing going on right now. The reason that you're going to have to ask it in 1 second. So as we talk and do these podcasts, I always fidget with little stuff around my desk. Like I've got this Allen wrench and the, you know, my coffee or whatever. I've got this stack of zip ties because I was trying to hook up this microphone and I'm just messing around while we were talking. I attached this zip tie and pulled it and it's so tight that I'm losing feeling in my hand. So I'm going to have to go cut it off. So hold that thought. You guys banter while I cut this thing off.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's a first, right? There will be other weird things. We're artists though, right? I mean, like we do weird things.
Right.
We're not normal. If we were normal, we'd have a normal job.
No, I'm just imagining Lee over there killing himself accidentally.
I can see him right now. And his hand was red.
Oh, do you have him on Skype?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't I do that?
Well, technology.
I guess. All right.
You feel better?
I feel a lot better.
Okay.
That was killing me.
The question I was going to ask is, do you think, like, I think a lot of young people are probably asking this in their mind. I'm dying to be an artist that makes money doing artwork. I see a lot of different avenues and I see a lot of people doing different things and I just don't know what the right avenue is for me. If I don't do fan art, because the three of you old guys are saying, don't do it, then am I going to find out later that I should have just done it because it would have given me a lot of mileage. It would have given me something to work on. Or, how could somebody, I guess what I'm asking is, could someone young do it without falling into all those pitfalls that we talked about before?
Sure. I mean, I think they should. I'm not saying you shouldn't do fan art, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that I like your 5-step process, well, the evaluation. And mm-hmm. David Hone and I in our class talk about this whole thing too, and when you're doing master copies, the same kind of thing comes up is, that's a big gray area, but there is definitely a line somewhere in that gray area. And so the first thing is, how much did you change it? That's goes along mm-hmm. with your 5 steps. And the next thing is, are you making money from it? And like, as those two things start to set up, now you have ventured how we set it up is, how close to the line are you that's in this vague fog? Mm-hmm. And by making those conscious choices, you didn't change it too much and you're selling it. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting close to the mm-hmm. line where I think you're crossing an ethical and a legal boundary.
What if someone is making fan art and they're posting to social media to get attention, but they have they're not selling it at all.
Yeah, 100% say do it. But I think they should follow through with your line of work, Will, is that you do one Batman and then you do some original thing too, if you're starting to just fully lean on the fan art.
Yeah.
I agree. I think doing fan art is great for exposure because what you're doing is now everybody who loves Captain America is getting their eyes on your work. It's great to actually get work, like the example you said, Will, with a guy that you interviewed for your YouTube channel. I personally have gotten work because of fan art. I was being considered for a job with Marvel to draw Rocket Raccoon, and they weren't quite sure I was the guy, so I did some Rocket Raccoon fan art, basically. I showed it to them, and they said, oh, we love that art. You're the right guy for this job. So I think it's good for those things. I think it's also good because every time you do a fan art, you have to basically sit in the shoes of the original designer who created that artwork. So you're learning from them. It's kind of a way of doing a master copy. You're understanding why, if you're drawing Ariel. So for example, I did a robot version of Ariel and I started picking out the colors and I was like, oh, green, I need red. And then I'm sitting here, I'm like, green and red, that's Christmas colors. But I never once associated Christmas colors with Ariel or Christmas with Ariel. And I realized, like, because of that little hint of purple that she has for her, like, seashell covering on the top, like, it completely changes it from what I are always thought of as Christmas colors to now it's just these awesome, like contrasting colors of red and green. So I learned so much from that just by studying and doing that fan art. So I think Lee's right. Like, do the fan art to learn, to get exposure to maybe even get work, but don't have that be like your main thing. Have it be, you know, for every fan art drawing you do, do five original drawings or something like that. You know, find that ratio that works for you so that you're not completely like selling your soul to fan art, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah, the cool thing about fan art, you didn't think you'd hear that, did you, Will? The cool thing about fan art is you're taking properties that everybody knows, and you have to, I mean, if as long as you're not copying them, it's really hard to do your own version of it. Like, I think Will's book is beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's so great, because he really mm-hmm. made those things his own, but yet everybody knows the property. And so you can, like, an art director sees that and go, oh, I mean, I'm looking at the Tin Man in the background of Will's studio. That's awesome. Like, I can immediately recognize it as both Will's and the property. And that's a genius thing. That's why I sometimes recommend for new children's book illustrators, take a Little Red Riding Hood. If you can make that interesting, we've seen a million versions of Little Red Riding Hood, right? And so you're taking this well-known property and making it your own. If you can do that, you're going to get attention, because everybody already comes to the table with a little bit of knowledge of that story.
I found this cool list of, when I was kind of studying up on this, on DeviantArt, there's an artist named Kira, I think is what it is. It's K-I-R-A-W-R-A. And this artist made a list of what is going to make your fan art at risk if you're putting it out there to sell it. I think no one's going to like come after you if you're just doing fan art for the love of it, right? I don't think that's a problem. But if you're out there selling it, these are this is a list that is going to put it at risk. Number one is it uses official art, logos, or content not solely created by you. So like that guy that kept getting cease and desists, he was obviously in violation there, I think. That's why they're coming after him and not the guy, you know, next to him. Number two, it depicts characters or content in a deformative, sexual, slanderous, or otherwise unflattering light. So if you're doing fan art of Batman and you're like really doing tasteless stuff with it, you're probably going to raise a red flag from DC, and they're probably going to say, you know, hey, we'd like you to cut this out. If it has little or no difference from the original works, again, that's the plagiarism side of it. If it does not have a parody or influence of parody, it's going to be at risk. And if you sell a high number of commissions or prints, you know, if it's apparent that you're eating into their market share, you know, that could be a problem as well. And then the last thing is if it caters to the same market as the copyright holder. So, you know, as far as I know, like, Marvel isn't in the print selling business. I don't know right now where I could go find a Marvel print. You know, I could know where I can find Marvel comics and graphic novels. I know where I can pick up a Marvel DVD. I guess a Blu-ray. People don't watch DVDs anymore. or I know where I could download it online. Or I know where I could get a Marvel action figure or a Marvel statue or a Marvel t-shirt. But I don't know, like, not even the comic shop I go to sells Marvel prints. So I kind of feel like that's where Marvel's like, you know, it's that gray area. It's like the gentleman's agreement. Like, we're not going to mess with you if you don't mess with us. As soon as you start messing with, you know, as soon as you start selling your action figures of Captain America, then we're going to have to go after you. But I think you might be in okay area. Now, one last thing, though, I will say this. I do have friends who work for Marvel, who work for DC. But I know specifically with Marvel is they, as an official Marvel artist, you have the right to sell Marvel art prints with your art on it, with the Marvel logo on it. And
is that something they give you in writing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know artists who supplement their income at conventions selling official Marvel art prints. And so when you're selling Marvel art prints that aren't, you know, sanctioned or official, you're eating into these other artists, like, their profits as well. So take that into account. Take that into consideration.
Now, you drew Rocket Raccoon. So would you say you could set up a booth and just sell Rocket Raccoon, or could you sell other characters as well?
Well, I didn't actually get that in my contract, so I couldn't officially do that. But that it's more for I did Rocket Raccoon for 5 issues. It was just like a quick job. I probably could talk to him about selling, you know, Rocket prints, but this is more for like career Marvel artists who, you know, have been doing it for years and years, who are known as Marvel artists.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we also need to mention, and I think we kind of alluded to it just a little bit. Here's one more last thing is that basically the idea that is kind of floating around, and this does not make it legal. This doesn't change, you know, where you stand or anything in doing it. But from the chatter amongst the artists is that that a lot of the IP owners, such as, you know, Marvel, Lucas, all those, or Disney, they actually like us out there doing fan art because we keep the property alive. Now, people that hate fan art hate that argument, and it's not an argument for legality, but it is, I believe it's a reality. And one of the reasons why I believe that is I actually had about 5 or 6 Disney executives come to my booth. They were from the legal department, and it scared me. And they bought a ton of my work. And I asked them, well, because they were dressed up in suits. They just didn't look like they belonged at Comic-Con at all. I'm like, oh, so what are you guys doing? Oh, we're from legal at Disney. And I was like, oh, is this where I get shut down? And then, you know, because I was selling Star Wars stuff, and they were loving it. And I said, so, you know, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, then this is a homework assignment. I'm going to get the cease and desist later on. You know, they're laughing as they're going to shut me down or something. But no, they basically said, oh, these will go great in our conference room. So we're going to frame them and put them up in there. And that's the last thing I heard of that. And that was a year and a half ago. So I do believe that there's some truth to the fact that a lot of these properties. Now, if I were selling plushies, if I were selling, you know, t-shirts and lots of things with their stuff on it, they would probably ask me if I have a license to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm a licensed vendor, and those licenses are expensive. They're tens of thousands of dollars from what I understand. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, I guess we'll end on that. Did you have anything else you want to say, Lee?
Nope. I think we covered some pretty good ground. I think it's all good. I'm gonna do a Batman drawing now.
Actually, I would love to see you.
I want to see a Lee Batman. You have to do it Batman. Now. You have just joked your way into doing something you have to do now.
I'll do it. I will do it.
And you have to sell it for a lot of money.
It's gonna be a ton. I'm gonna do a whole show on Will Terry art.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is 3-Point Perspective, the podcast made possible by svslearn.com, where becoming a great illustrator starts. Your hosts have been Will Terry. You can find him at willterry.com. His Instagram account is at willterryart. And you can find him on YouTube. Just do a search for Will Terry. We also have Lee White. You can find him at leewhiteillustration.com. Instagram account is at leewhiteillo. And lastly, I'm Jake Parker, MrJakeParker.com. My Instagram account is at Jake Parker, and you can also find me by doing a search for Jake Parker on YouTube. If you like this episode, please share it around. Subscribe to it on iTunes and leave a review. We want to hear what you guys think about what we're doing here. If you want to join in on this particular discussion on fan art, log on to the svslearn.com forums, where we have a post dedicated just to this episode. So check it out over there and give us your thoughts. And I think that's it. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time.
That was good. I think that we really hit that pretty, completely.
Pretty completely. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Every angle.
Totally. Completely.